content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, under the heading of This is 70. And there's a whole bunch of short articles under this heading, and let's start with the one that's entitled The Cosmic Resilience of Spirit in the Sky. As the 1960s ended, a quirky, upbeat song about the afterlife wormed its way into our heads. It has never left. This is by Alana Nash. In December 1969, against a national backdrop of the Apollo 11 moon landing, Woodstock, and the Vietnamese War, a psychedelic rock meets gospel meets cosmic blues boogie about Jesus and the redemption of death blazed its way into the cultural consciousness. 56 years later, that song, Spirit in the Sky, by Norman Greenbaum, has taken on an afterlife of its own, appearing in movies, TV shows, and commercials. This year, a new mix was released, followed by a vinyl reissue. People write that their relatives were buried with that song, and a fighter pilot said, "That song got me through the Vietnam War." "I'm humbled by it," said Greenbaum, 82, who lives in Santa Rosa, California. The song has a rich legacy. It was number 341 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Song list. It has been used in 110 TV and movie soundtracks, including for Aquaman and The Lost Kingdom, 2023, Ocean's 11, 2001, Remember the Titans, 2000, Apollo 13, 1995, and Wayne's World 2, 1993. At least 50 artists have recorded it, including Elton John and William Shatner. By 2020, it has appeared in more than 30 commercials. Greenbaum never repeated the song's success and says he's content with a modest life. He's worked in a restaurant and on his then-wife's goat farm while continuing to play music professionally. As to how much the song made over the years, I'd get royalty checks for $25,000 and then other times $2,000. I never added it up. The author of this piece, Alana Nash, is a journalist and author who has written extensively about country music. Next article, You Can't Dance with a Smartphone, or Why Boomers Are Still Having More Fun While Testing the Frontiers of Personal Embarrassment and Generational Humiliation in Front of Children and Grandchildren. And this piece is by Dave Barry. Generations are different. And I've noted one difference between my generation and Gen Zers that makes me feel sad for them, because I think they're missing out on one of the biggest joys in life, dancing. Gen Z doesn't dance. This isn't just my opinion. This is a scientific fact based on a rigorous study I have conducted between visits to the bar at a wide variety of wedding receptions. Here's what I've observed. Once the traditional first dance has been dispensed with, the band or DJ starts playing music intended to lure people onto the dance floor, usually an up-tempo rocker. For a few moments, the floor is empty. Then one brave pioneer couple will make their way out there. It's almost always an older couple. In fact, often it consists of me and my wife. Soon we're joined on the floor by other older couples. Before long, the dance floor is full, and almost everyone on it is either receiving or will soon be receiving Social Security benefits. Meanwhile, at the young person tables, Gen Zers will occasionally glance up from their phones and look at us dancers with an expression of wonderment. But it's not an admiring wonderment. It's more like, I wonder what in the world those old people think they're doing. I'll tell you what we think we're doing. The twist. Or maybe the mashed potato, or the slop, the watusi, the frug, the pony, the swim, the hooligooly, even possibly the jitterbug. Or, most likely, we're doing some random, mutant, free-form mixture of all of these and other dances from the distant past. Call it the boomer gyration. We're not all graceful. We don't always look pretty out there, and some of us look ridiculous. But we don't care what we look like. We're having fun. We're having way more fun than the phone brigade. We like to dance because we've always danced. We grew up going to school dances, sometimes even actual sock hops. Every party we went to was a dance party, usually in somebody's basement or rec room. The music supplied by a lo-fi record player, its fat spindles stacked with scratched-up 45 RPMs, records plopping down one on top of the other. Dancing was the social activity for us. It was the main way girls and boys interacted. You either danced or you stood on the sidelines wishing you were dancing. Every guy my age can remember the mixture of hope and terror he felt when he finally worked up the courage to leave the sideline and cross the gym floor, a distance that felt like several miles, to walk up to a group of giggly girls and ask one of them to dance, knowing that if she said no, he would have no option but to immediately leave the gym and hurl himself in front of a moving bus. But if the girl said yes, and she usually said yes, thank God, the two of you would move out onto the floor. And even if you were doing some truly ridiculous dance, even if you were doing the monkey, there was still something romantic about it, because it was just you and her. And then maybe, if you were lucky, a slow dance record would plop down on the spindle, and the two of you would move closer and embrace. Was there anything better than that? No, there was not, which is why my generation still loves to dance. And this piece was by syndicated humor columnist Dave Barry, 78, recently released his aptly titled memoir, Class Clown. Barry won the 1988 Pulitzer Prize for commentary, and he lives in Miami. Next article, under the same heading of This is 70, an essay, A Lifetime of Examining My Life. What keeping journals for decades has taught me, and this is by Chip Brown. My kids recently gave me a formulaic little book called Dad, I Want to Hear Your Story, a father's guided journal filled with ostensibly character-defining questions such as, did I like roller coasters as a child? Do I think there's life on other planets? Do I believe in love at first sight? I appreciate the gift, but wonder whether my children aren't missing me to water the lawn in a downpour, because I have been keeping a journal, unguided, since I was a sophomore in college. I now have 137 wide-ruled spiral notebooks. I would have 138, but I lost one in 1989 when my briefcase was stolen from a restaurant in Rockefeller Center. All told, that's more than 20,000 pages of scribbling amassed over 52 years. If my kids bother to rummage through this archive, they will learn that Dad does not like roller coasters, hopes there is life on other planets, and believes way too often in love at first sight. In journal keeping, per the famous dictum of Socrates, that the unexamined life is not worth living, I found a way of parsing what was in my mind and heart. Sometimes it was also a way of slapping myself awake to drain the angst, bridle the rage, or just strip away the grime of habit that can obscure the astonishment of being alive. I often hear my now dead father's voice. He was not a journal keeper. Dad, I once told him, the unexamined life is not worth living, according to Socrates. The overexamined life might not be worth living either, he replied. For sure, but in any journal, a depth of insight accrues over time. There's what you registered in the moment that seemed worth writing about, and there's what you can see between the lines years later, reviewing that moment. It's the specific context of facts that enables us to tell one instance of loneliness or joy or heartbreak from another. Of course, even in the cascade of words, something is always missing. The immense mystery of an ordinary afternoon. The last chess game. Bob Marley on the radio softly singing Waiting in Vain. Who will remember any of it, or any of these words clinging to the past like a diminuendo of frail notes subsiding into silence?
Whoa.
I seem to have hit some heavy weather. Need to wrap this up. Get to my journal. Turn the page. And this was by Chip Brown, 72. He's the author of two books and has written for many national magazines, including National Geographic, Outside, and the New York Times Magazine. Now, how about some mid-year tax moves in turbulent times? Managing your tax exposure in your 70s requires year-long diligence, especially when the economy is unpredictable. Here are a few moves experts say you should consider. Sell loser investments now. Taxable investments taking a hit? If you sell stocks or other securities that have declined in value, you can, quote, harvest the losses for tax purposes. That means you can use those losses to offset any capital gains you may have realized in the same tax year on investments that gained in value since you purchased them. If you have more losses than gains, you can use up to $3,000 to offset your income on your tax return. Next, take advantage of catch-up provisions. If you're still working, you can continue putting money into your 401k. This year, workers in their 70s are eligible to put not only the standard $23,500 into a workplace retirement account, but also another $7,500 in catch-up contributions, meaning you could lower your taxable income for the year by $31,000. And then look into taking your first RMD early. If you're turning 73 this year, you can choose whether to take your first required minimum distribution from your retired accounts in 2025 or wait until April 1st, 2026, the year after you turn 73. But you must also take your second RMD by December 31st, 2026. So, take the first RMD now or risk taking two next year and hitting a higher tax bracket. Then, plan now for future tax moves. Tax rates are being debated in Congress as we go to press, and what those rates will be in the future is not yet clear. So this is not a bad time to consult your financial advisor on a tax path forward. And this article was by Beth Braverman. Now, looking at AARP, the bulletin, we read an article about that text might be a trap. Well, here's five ways to thwart a text scam. Amy Nofzinger, director of the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline, says, "There isn't an hour that goes by that we don't hear from another text scam victim." Here's her advice on how you can avoid getting scammed. Filter unknown numbers. Set up your phone to filter texts from numbers not in your contact list. Block suspicious ones. Read carefully and slowly. If a text urges quick action, it's likely a scam. Don't respond. Ignore texts from unknown numbers. Legitimate senders will find other ways to reach you. Verify numbers. If a text asks you to call a bank or other company, look up the number. If you use the phone number in a scam text, you could be dialing straight into the scammer's call center. And finally, beware of red flags. Do they want you to call a number or click on a link, or are they saying you owe money? Those are huge signs of a scam. And if the word crypto is mentioned, delete and block. And they do mention like three examples of this type of scam. Your UPS package is undeliverable at the address on the box. Please click on the link below to confirm the address. This is from XYZ Bank, and we are checking to see if you authorized a $1,500 charge from PayPal for a cryptocurrency. If not, please click the following link to connect with our fraud team or call the number listed below. Don't. Finally, please pay for your EasyPass toll now to avoid any late penalties. The charge due is $6.31. Pay at this link ASAP to avoid late fees. Don't do that. Now, in AARP, the magazine, here's some articles about some cool vacations. Here's about a coolcation, actually. Summer vacations are hot, literally, and not necessarily in a good way. Thank goodness we've passed that. Last summer was the warmest on record, so heading to Orlando or Las Vegas might not be appealing to older people who can be particularly susceptible to the ill effects of heat. Can enter the coolcation, and you can put these on your list for next year if need be. Instead of hitting a hot spot, travel to a place where you can beat the heat. We recognize that extreme weather events are an increasing concern for American travelers, says Gloria Lori, Senior Vice President for Marketing Strategy at Destination Canada. But heading for Canada or Alaska isn't your only option to enjoy mild weather. Here are plenty of cool destinations to be found in the contiguous United States, too, especially in the mountains or near major bodies of water. Check out these chill spots. Make some changes in latitude. This is in Banff, Alberta. Summer high temperatures are in the mid-60s. Banff has all the ingredients for an ideal Canadian Rocky Mountains experience. Glacial lakes that glow turquoise, snow-etched peaks, exhilarating hikes, and comfortable temperatures. International tourists come through all wearing their jackets in summer, says local Jason Carter, 45, and it's like, what's going on? It's not that cold here, is it? Carter is an Indigenous visual artist from the Little Red River Cree Nation, who co-owns Carter Ryan Gallery in the town of Banff. Visitors can also experience the Summertime Art in Nature Trail along the Bow River, which is lined with more than 65 displays by regional artists. Travelers to Banff, Canada's first national park, can also pick up a copy of Banff's Indigenous Experiences map, leading to 15 historical sites, museums, and natural spaces. The next article we're going to look at is kind of long, so we'll do part of it today and part of it next time. Hold on to your smile. 65-plus guide to oral health. If you think tooth loss is a normal aspect of aging, you're wrong. Here's how to protect your teeth and how they might just save your life. And this is by Jessica Magala. Losing your teeth can dramatically affect more than your smile. It ups your risk for a whole host of late-life health hazards, from heart disease to cancer to dementia. The majority of older adults have periodontal disease, the number one cause of tooth loss. We're on the cusp of a periodontal crisis, says Edgard L. Char, clinical professor at the University of Pennsylvania. People who don't brush twice a day for 2 minutes at a time, as recommended by the American Dental Association, are at increased risk of having a heart attack, heart failure, or a stroke, according to a study in the International Journal of Cardiology. Gum disease is a progressive disease, Elchar says. It's a silent killer. Why your teeth matter as we age. Thanks to fluoridated water and toothpaste, an increased focus on oral health, and a reduction in smoking, it's not uncommon today to see adults living out their entire lives with a full set of their own teeth. But tooth loss is still an enormous risk. The average older adult has about 20 remaining teeth. One in six adults over age 65 have lost all of their teeth, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. Having nine or fewer teeth is associated with a higher risk of any cause of death, including heart disease and cancer, compared with those who retained at least 20, according to research in Frontiers in Public Health. A meta-analysis of more than 34,000 people found that those who were missing all their teeth had 1.4 times higher risk of developing dementia, Research has found that dental care may be a potential strategy in dementia prevention. Gum disease has also been linked to the development of diabetes, heart and lung disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and certain cancers. The reverse is true, too. Having chronic disease often makes your mouth more vulnerable to dental problems and tooth loss. Poor oral health often leads to discomfort and pain, problems speaking, chewing and swallowing, and yes, tooth loss. That can alter what foods we can eat, lead to nutritional deficiencies, and generally affect your emotional health, self-esteem, and quality of life. What's trying to steal your teeth? Tooth loss doesn't have to be your future. With good oral hygiene and preventative techniques, you can hold on to your teeth, says Adila S. Begg, director of the Special Care and Geriatrics Clinic at the University of Maryland School of Dentistry. To do that, it helps to recognize the major causes of tooth loss as enemies that are coming for your teeth and your overall health. Here are the threats and how to protect yourself from them. Tooth loss culprit decay. About 1 in 5 adults over 65 currently have untreated tooth decay. The myth is that cavities are only a childhood problem, but they're definitely an older adult problem, says Stephen Schumann, director of the Oral Health Services for Older Adults Program at the University of Minnesota School of Dentistry in Minneapolis. Receding gums expose the roots of the teeth, which are more vulnerable than the crowns. Old fillings can break down, exposing cracks where bacteria can invade. Vision problems and dexterity challenges from conditions like arthritis can make it difficult to clean between your teeth and brush well. Customize your dental visits. About 4 in 10 older adults don't have a single dentist visit in 2022. How often do you need to go? That's between you and your dentist. There's nothing magical about a 6-month checkup, Schumann says. People with excellent oral health may go only annually. Those with challenges may need to go every 3 months. Next, automate your toothbrush. I recommend that even over the age of 50, use an electric toothbrush. Oh, excuse me, that's over the age of 40, says Sonia Dunbar, a registered dental hygienist and oral health educator in Jacksonville, Florida. An electric toothbrush spins and vibrates to do all the work for you. It may have a timer to help you reach the recommended 2-minute brushing mark, and many have a feature that signals when you're brushing too hard, which can contribute to gum recession. To use this brush, put it on top of your teeth and let the brush spin, then move on to the next spot. Next is go high-tech with your flossing. While it's crucial to do it daily, navigating a string between teeth can be challenging. Dunbar recommends using a water flosser to clean in between your teeth since it shoots water into your mouth. It does the work for you. And stop smoking. If you smoke, you're more than 3 times more likely to lose all of your teeth than a non-smoker. But it's not too late to quit. Just as there are benefits to your heart and lungs if you reduce or stop smoking at any age, the same applies to your mouth. Tooth loss culprit, gum disease. About 2 in 3 adults over 65 are currently dealing with gum disease. Its most common symptom, your gums bleed when you brush. If you rubbed your eyeball and it bled, you would go straight to the ER. So why do we ignore it if our gums bleed? Dunbar asks. Gum disease can destroy gums and the bones that keep teeth in place, leading to tooth loss. Other symptoms of the disease, loose teeth, pain during chewing, persistent bad breath, and receding gums. Even if you have not lost any teeth, gum disease impairs your ability to chew hard foods, says Ushena Alcosa, assistant professor and director of Rutgers Health University Dental Associates. That will affect your nutrition and can put you at risk of malnutrition in the future. Up your dental game. Brushing and flossing daily are musts for maintaining gum health. Again, mechanical tools can be a big help. up your schedule. If your gums bleed regularly, talk to your dentist about the frequency of your appointments. Early intervention can prevent tooth tissue damage and tooth loss. And we'll continue this article next time. Now, in the bit of time we have left, I'm going to AARP the Bulletin. And one of the cover stories in a recent issue has to do with 99 ways to save money. And actually, we're up to number 11, which is in the home and garden section. Plant trees strategically. Placing trees on your property can cut your home energy costs throughout the year, including a 30% decrease in air conditioning needs and a 20 to 50% reduction in heating expenses, according to the Arbor Day Foundation. For the most impact, plant evergreens to the north and west of your home to block wind in the winter, and deciduous trees to shade east and west window patios and your air conditioning unit. Next, consider an electric lawnmower. While it may cost more than a gas-powered one up front, you could come out ahead after 2 years, depending on the size of your yard and the type of mower you use. Then don't pay for your mulch. Get ChipDrop.com pairs homeowners and others who want wood chip mulch with local tree trimmers. Enter your address on the website, and the next time an arborist has wood chips to dump in your area, they'll drop off a load. You can spread it yourself or pay a landscaper to do it. Bundle your year-round services. Many landscapers offer additional services such as leaf or snow removal in the off-season. Contracting with one provider for all your needs could reduce your total cost. Leave your grass clippings. Short grass clippings, about one-third of a blade, left on your lawn after mowing can put nutrients back into the soil as it decomposes. This practice can reduce your fertilizer costs by up to 25%. Install kitchen shelves, not cabinets. When remodeling your kitchen, consider installing open shelves in place of at least some upper cabinets. Shelves are much cheaper and, when loaded with attractive dishware, can add more visual interest and a more modern look than a full wall of cabinet shelves and doors. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join me next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.